name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent of their sufferings and death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful baby.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
birth of your only begotten Son in the flesh, may set us free from the bondage of sin. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Chapter 40. In the first month in the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. Moses erected the tabernacle, he laid its bases and set up its frames, and put in its poles and raised up its pillars. And he spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent over it, as the Lord commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it in the ark, and put the poles in the ark, and set the mercy seat above on the ark. And he brought the ark to the tabernacle, and set up the veil of the screen, and screened the ark of the testimony, as the Lord had commanded Moses. When the cloud covered the tent of meetings, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of meetings because the cloud settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
The epistle is from Titus, chapter 3. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the rights to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's easy to complain about the abuse of Christmas. Even the most secular of atheists are disgusted by the materialism of our age, the desperation of the retailers, and the manipulation of children. And this is no longer just an American phenomenon. Every year we hear more accounts of stores all over the world. We hear of stores in Japan where less than 2% of the population is Christian, setting up nativity scenes with either Santa Claus or Mickey Mouse in the manger. Then we hear about the hotel in Dubai, a Muslim country, that decorated a Christmas tree in their lobby with the gaudy and conspicuous display of $11 million worth of jewelry. And the abuses go on and on. But there is something in all of these abuses that hints at the greatness of the day. Ramadan and the other holy days of Islam never get co-opted by the world or exploited by merchants. Neither do the major holidays of other world religions. When's the last time you went last-minute shopping for the festival of Vishnu or Buddha? How many office parties are held on Yom Kippur? It may sound trivial, but the reason for this is that the holy days of other religions are just no fun. There's no reason, no real joy in them, no reason to get excited, no joy, no fun that the world even wants or desires to steal away from them. The high feast days of Christianity, on the other hand, are filled with joy. Christmas is an especially easy target because it is more than fun, it is joyous. And it is mysterious and awe-inspiring. The world cannot help but recognize that there is something special about Christmas, something extra joyous about it. All of history hangs on this day, after all. We divide time in history according to Christ's birth. The whole world knows that this is important, even if most don't fully understand or care to learn why. And so the world wants in on it somehow. God became flesh. The Creator became a creature. He took up our cause. He chose our side against the devil. He redeemed the world. It is an easy day for merchants in Hollywood to exploit. Because the birth of Jesus Christ, dear friends, is the cause for true and real celebration. Having first been loved, we love. And we want to express our love for one another with gifts. We want to feast and drink wine. We want to relax and think of all the blessings we have and sing songs of merriment and praise. We want to hug and kiss our families and enjoy the festivities. Sure, the world gets it wrong. Like Japanese retailers and Dubai hotels, like American sitcoms and all the cheesy feel-good holiday season movies. If they are unable to recognize or acknowledge what it is that St. Mary ponders in her heart, they can at least glimpse something of the shepherd's joyous excitement. And that excitement is marketable. They can cash in on it. The irony, however, in all of this exploitation and abuse is that the story is not actually a very happy story. We soften it with romance. We make it a Thomas Kincaid painting where the stable looks quaint, warm, homey. Oh, wouldn't we like to snuggle up with Jesus? We even pretend that baby Jesus no crying makes. If Japanese businessmen are confused, it is partly our fault because they're just following our lead. Our stores have long sold nativity sets with Mickey Mouse or Disney characters as the figurines, or with Legos, monkeys, and farm animals with precious moments and the like. It's all very kitsch, if not outright impious and irreverent. And so it should not surprise us that non-Christians are confused. We ourselves have often been confused. Every sitcom or Hallmark special that claims to proclaim the true meaning of Christmas never does. In fact, I'm absolutely suspicious of anyone who uses the phrase true meaning of Christmas. It's usually a dead giveaway that what you're about to hear won't be anything close to the true meaning of Christmas. It will almost always be something like, we should love each other more, we should be nicer or kinder to one another, we should get into the spirit of things. And that never means, by the way, the Holy Spirit. Our Lord was born not into some quaint or romantic setting. He was born in a stable. And not because he thought it would be comfortable or that it would lead to nice children's songs someday, but because it was the only option available. Think of the smells in the stable that night, the dirty animals and the mud mixed with poop. Think of the blood and the mucus on the baby, on St. Mary's legs, the smells and the stickiness of it all. Think of Joseph, dirty and sweaty from the journey, now shivering in the cold, wiping his nose, listening to his stomach growl, tired and just wanting to drop dead from the exhaustion. Think of the many indignities and hardships of the Holy Family on that holy night, because no one in the stable that night was happy. No one there thought that it was quaint or homey. No one there thought it was especially snuggly in the stable. This is not some Martha Stewart trick where a manger becomes a clever, cute little bassinet, like unto a wine bottle becoming a lamp or a napkin holder, or a pine cone turning into a cute reindeer. St. Mary had no choice. She either laid the baby down on the ground, or she held him all night, or she put him in a feeding trough. It was not hygienic. It was not soft or comfortable. It was simply the best they could do. This, dear friends, is the real scene of our Lord's entrance into our dead and dying world, and it is anything but fit for primetime Christmas sentimentality. It is rather the shadow of the cross that falls across the manger, foreshadowing the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it, but that does not mean that the darkness doesn't try, or that the darkness rolls over and cooperates. Birds have nests, and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head in all of his creation. The children of Israel ate bread miraculously provided from heaven every morning in the wilderness and complained about it. But the Lord Jesus Christ goes hungry. For rather than be fed, he feeds and is himself food. Thus, the manger. He is of the house and lineage of David. That is why he's born in Bethlehem, not because it's a cute, quaint little city and we would all love it someday in our hymnody. It is because that is his lineage. And it's not just a happy coincidence. He is laid out in the place where rude beasts feed in the city whose name means house of bread. Nothing in the Holy Scriptures is coincidental or accidental. All of it bears witness and testifies of Christ. Every single word is significant. This then, dear friends, is the true context into which the eternal Word of the Father became flesh and tabernacled among us. He entered the mire and muck of our stinking world and assumed our stinking flesh to save us. This is the mystery behind the joy the world loves to exploit. Our God is a man. We have a mediator, a savior, an advocate. The devil cannot have us. We do not belong to him. Death has lost its sting. We have hope beyond this plane, beyond ourselves, for we have peace with God. For God is a man, and God is a man who loves us. He has declared peace with us. He is not at war with us, but forgives us. That is the joy. That is the mysterious, wonderful, awesome joy that the world wants to get in on, even if it doesn't understand it. And it is from this mystery of the Word made flesh, from His fullness, that we, dear friends, have all received grace upon grace. So that being justified not by our works, sinners that we are, but by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There is where true joy can be found on this Christmas day and on every day. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, not to destroy us because of our many sins, which we deserved, but to bear our sins upon Himself and pay for them all on the cross. That is the true meaning of Christmas. And while the world wants to get in on this joy and wants to steal and exploit some of it for itself, you will never ever, no not ever, hear the word bringing up good hear the world bringing up Good Friday and its celebration of Christmas. But that is what Christmas is. Christmas is Good Friday. Christmas is the Word becoming flesh that He might die. And mystery of mysteries, dear friends, that same Word who became flesh still tabernacles among us in His flesh, giving us to eat of His body and drink of His blood for forgiveness, life, and salvation. That is joy of joy and wonders of wonders. And no world, no way the world could ever understand it. But thanks be to God, you do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
church throughout the world, that all the baptized by their faithful witness to the gospel bear the joy of the light and life of Christ into the darkness and death of this world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations, that all those entrusted with leadership be given grace to serve with wisdom, courage, and integrity, and for all who serve in our armed forces, that they serve under God's protection with integrity and honor, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who wander in the darkness still, unaware of the love of Christ, that the Holy Spirit enlighten their hearts so that they may join us in confessing and praising Him who became the child of the Blessed Virgin Mary in order to make us all the children of God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this parish, that our members could find joy overflowing in their adoption by the Heavenly Father through holy baptism, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick, for those who are dying, for the grieving and the lonely, and for all whom we have been asked to remember in prayer, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who approach the holy altar today, that welcoming Emmanuel who comes in his body and blood, they may be strengthened and sustained in living faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light, that multitude which no man can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom in Him we are one forevermore, let us give thanks and praise, asking that we be brought to share in their unending joy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
These prayers and praises we offer in the name of Him who came among us as Mary's child, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Body of Christ given for you. The very 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 body of Christ given for you. Very body of Christ given for you.
Very blood of Christ.
The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
Very blood of Christ.
Abby, the Lord bless and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of your life. Amen. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. and precious, true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.